Again, we're sorry to be late, but I must admit I was thinking that normally we run on ISKCON time, so I thought we might not really be late, but it looks like we were actually. So, sorry about that. Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So, seeing we just celebrated the appearance day of Lord Chaitanya a few days ago, I thought we could just continue on in the same theme, if that's okay with you, if no one is really opposed too much, and just talk about Lord Chaitanya a bit. Ram Nomi will be coming up in due course, and at that time, or approaching that time, we will switch into a Lord Ram mode or mood. But let us just continue with Lord Chaitanya for the time being. And oh, I've got to use the microphone, and there's no microphone stand, I guess. So I don't know, but you may well have read these few verses we're going to read on Gopalila or around that time. But we're going to read from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, chapter 13, the appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we'll begin with text 87. Haite haite haile garba triodasha masa tatapi bumishta nahe mishrera haila trasa. In this way, the pregnancy approached its 13th month, but still there was no sign of the delivery of the child. Thus Jagannath Mishra became greatly apprehensive. 13 months. That's a little, it's a bit on the long side, isn't it? Yes. Of course, Shukadev Goswami stayed in the womb of his mother for 16 years. That's definitely on the long side. But even here, this is 13 months. That's quite some time. But Lord Chaitanya was not coming out. And it was not just some sort of abstract. Can we turn off our phones, please? Not just some sort of abstract phenomenon. He just somehow stayed there. But he stayed there for a particular reason, which we'll look at as we go along. Text 88. Nilambara Chakravarti Kahila Ganiya E Mase Putra Habe Shubhakshana Pana. Nilambara Chakravarti, the grandfather of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then did an astrological calculation, and said in that very month, taking advantage of an auspicious moment, the child would take birth. You see, that was really the point. Lord Chaitanya was waiting for a particular time, which of course he knew was coming, but it was just a little bit further away than the normal 9 months or whatever it may be that a child stays in the womb of the mother. Chodashata sata shake masaye palguna ponamasir sandhyakale haile shubakshana. Thus, in the year 1407 of the Shaka era, corresponding to our AD 1486, in the month of Falguna, February, March, in the evening of the full moon day, the desired auspicious moment arrived. Yes. Akalanka Gaura Chandra Dila Darashana Sakalanka Chandra Ara Kona Prayojana. When the spotless moon of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became visible, what would be the need for a moon full of black marks on its body? Etajani Rahukaila Chandra Grahana Krishna Krishna Hariname Base Tri Bhuvana. Considering this, Rahu, the black planet, covered the full moon, and immediately vibrations of Krishna Krishna Hari inundated the three worlds, including Lunasia. Vibrations of what? Sure, not like that. You wouldn't inundate 1 square meter. What to speak of a room? What to speak of the three worlds? What was it they were chanting?
Krishna, Krishna,
Hari, Hari.
Krishna, Krishna, Hari!
Krishna, Krishna, Hari!
Yes, well. So, this is what the Lord was waiting for, actually. And he could have waited, longer. Jaya, Jaya, Devani, Haila, Sakala, Bhuvana. Chamatkara haya loka bhave mane mana. All people thus chanted the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra during the lunar eclipse, and their minds were struck with wonder. Jagat bhariya loka bale hari hari sekshane gaura Krishna bhume avatari. When the whole world was thus chanting the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna in the form of Gaura Hari adventured himself on the earth. Shri Gaura Hari ki
Jai.
Shri Shri Nitai Gaura Hari ki
Jai.
Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki
Jai.
Shri Gopanima Mahotsava ki
Jai.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacharane Jatarane Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasati Gaura Bhaktivrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakabhutrarubhyas jayakripas sindubhya evaja. Patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. So it's all very interesting. Lord Chaitanya specifically waited for that very appropriate time, to make his appearance, the Purnima day. And of course he knew it was going to be a lunar eclipse. And on the eclipse days, the practice was, at least in more Vedic times than today in India and surrounding areas, that the people would go to some sacred river or lake, Kund, some place like that, particularly some body of water or a river, sacred. And during the course of the eclipse, they would bathe even for 2 or 3 hours, through the whole period of the eclipse, because eclipses are very inauspicious, as the verses were mentioning. Eclipse means, really, despite what the scientists, our friends, the scientists say, eclipses, what an eclipse is that Rahu, the dark planet, attacks, in this case, the moon or even the sun. Yes. Rahu's very extraordinary personality. Well, Rahu is a planet, but Rahu is a person. Because in the 8th canto, it's described how there was competition between the demigods and demons for some celestial nectar. It was called the nectar of immortality, although it was not exactly that. But it was definitely a nectar which extended a person's lifetime, life expectancy greatly, and gave them special strength like this. So the demigods and the celestial demons were competing and fighting to get that nectar. And, well, it is a long story, but Mohini, the female incarnation of Krishna, she managed to take that pot of nectar from the demons. And so now she had it, and she started giving it to the demigods, who were devotees. But Rahu, the person, Rahu, who is one of the demons, he understood what was going on. The other demons understood to some degree, but they were all too bewildered by the beauty of Mohini, so they didn't do anything. So as she started distributing the nectar amongst the demigods, Rahu, who did understand what was happening, he snuck in amongst the demigods without them noticing, and he got some of the nectar. But he was just about to drink it was in his mouth, and just as he was about to swallow it, the moon and or sun demigod or demigods, understood. This is Rahu. He's a demon. He must not get any nectar. So the Supreme Lord, with her chakra, cut off the head of Rahu, and that was the end of Rahu. But that nectar was in the mouth, and so his head didn't die, and his head became a planet, which is that planet Rahu, the dark planet. And eclipse means Rahu is attacking the sun, either the sun or the moon, because he's particularly opposed to them, because they were responsible for him not being able to just get the nectar nicely, having to become this disembodied being. So Lord Chaitanya knew that an eclipse was coming, and when eclipses come, then, as we mentioned, people go to those sacred places and immerse themselves, and through the whole eclipse, at least that was the practice, they just chant and chant and chant. And even a few verses on from where we stopped, Chaitanya Charitamrita says that even the Muslims, they would also chant during the eclipses, even though, of course, they were not serious about chanting the holy names of the Lord. But still, the atmosphere was so strong, they would get caught up in it, even if initially it was in a sort of a joking mood. Yeah. Because the holy names are so powerful that if somehow or other someone, anyone, chants in any form or other, even for some other reason, even not understanding the meaning, even with some ulterior purpose in mind, etc., etc., even when the name is being applied to some other thing, and they're chanting the name, some name, with reference to the other thing, but still they get great benefit. So the Muslims, they would initially sort of mockingly chant, but the power of the holy names is such, they would get caught up in it. Yes. Just like, you know, it's famous in South Africa, as far as I recall, but it's practically all over the world. Are you familiar with Rama margarine? It's exactly that principle. It's exactly that principle. Yes, so many people in many countries. It's all over Russia. It's all over Europe. Rama margarine. And people are saying, no, we want Rama. Give us Rama. And they're getting benefit. It's a fact. So even the Muslims would get caught up in it, even though initially they were just doing it in a mocking way, but it's so powerful gradually, they would actually get into it. So therefore Lord Chaitanya appeared at that time, because he knew that my mission is to establish the chanting of the holy names. So let me, right from the outset, as I'm in the process of appearing, let me celebrate my mission, the chanting, the widespread, large-scale, public congregational chanting of the holy names. That's my mission. Let me appear right at the suitable time, so it will sort of herald my appearance and my mission. And he appeared. in the midst of that chanting. Just as the moon was rising. Of course, there is an esoteric, well, it's mentioned there to some, it is referred to briefly, kind of slightly esoteric reasoning behind it, that it was the full moon night. And the full moon, of course, is nice big silver disc, lights things up. But Lord Chaitanya, he is Gaurachandra. He is the golden moon. And the transcendental golden moon. So the ordinary silver moon, understanding that the transcendental golden moon of Lord Chaitanya was going to appear and make him look very silly. The silver moon, even though full moon, felt very embarrassed because gold of course is much more attractive and valuable, and Lord Chaitanya being Krishna on the inside but Radharani on the outside, and Radharani being the color of molten gold, not just some ordinary gold like some jewelry or a Krugerrand or your artificial gold plating on your Chinese watch. Not even Japanese, no. But molten gold is so lustrous and brilliant, and so rich, deeply rich. You compare molten gold to any ordinary silver or the silver color of the moon, and it's just completely superior in another dimension altogether. So the understanding is that our regular silver full moon felt embarrassed, so he hid his face. Because if people saw, look, there's Gaurachandra, and look, there's the regular full moon, they would look at the full moon and they just laugh. It looks like a piece of tin compared to the molten gold color full moon of Lord Chaitanya, Gaurachandra. So, yes, so Lord Chaitanya came. He appeared 529 years ago, just a few days back. And it's such a wonderful time. And Lord Chaitanya is such a wonderful person. And his mission is such a wonderful mission. It's amazing. It really is something to celebrate. Who gave the class on Gopanima in ISKCON Nitai Gaura Hari? Prabhu Vishnu. Okay. So Lord Chaitanya came at that time, and he came with his special mission, which is multifaceted. He came to establish the Yuga Dharma. He came to give Vraja Bhakti. Normally in every Kali Yuga, there is a golden or yellow. Srimad Bhagavatam says yellow. Not necessarily that rich golden color of Lord Chaitanya. But otherwise in every Kali Yuga, in a day of Brahma, Lord Vishnu appears in a yellow form and teaches the chanting of his holy names, the holy names of Lord Vishnu, so that people, if they do that, they can go to the abode of Lord Vishnu, Vaikuntha. But after Lord Krishna had been here 5,000 years ago, because Krishna himself appears only one time in a day of Brahma, in one of the Dwapara Yugas, and there are 1,000 cycles of the Yugas in a day of Brahma, Sahasra Yuga Paryantam Aharyad Brahmano Vitu, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. So Lord Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago, and then when he returned back to Goloka Vrindavan, Lord Krishna was thinking that these poor people in this material world, it is just a crying shame. And these poor people in Linasia and Linasia South. Krishna was thinking, these poor people, what are we going to do? Shall we just give them Vishnu Bhakti or what? Krishna was thinking. And Krishna became inspired, and Krishna became inspired, and Krishna thought, let us give them the real nectar. Let us give them entrance into my pastimes with Srimati Radharani. Krishna was thinking like that. Let us give them entrance into Vraja Bhakti, the highest level of pure Krishna consciousness, and through that access to the highest level of the kingdom of God. It is really a much higher level than even Vaikuntha, and what to speak of the material world, even the heavenly planets, the planet of Lord Brahma. Goloka Vrindavan is really just so extremely superior. And generally, the other incarnations do not give access to that. But Krishna was thinking, let us give them a chance. These poor people from Kali Yuga, let us give them a chance, because otherwise it's hopeless. And you look around in this material world, and you just see how hopeless it is. It's becoming worse all the time. It's bizarre in the extreme how bad the material world is. And devotees, the news is that it's going to get worse. Until the Krishna consciousness movement really spreads and is established in every town and village on this planet, until that time, Kali Yuga is going to get worse. Yes, and so, you know, it's hard to imagine how or in what particular ways, but this is what is going to happen. So Lord Krishna, having been here 5,000 years ago, he was thinking like that. It's time for the establishment of the Yuga Dharma, for Kali Yuga, very good. But let us do it in a special way. I will appear myself, and I will give the chanting of my holy names. And in that way, people can come to me, to Goloka Vrindavan. So it was very special. Very, very special. Anyway, those are some reasons. There are other reasons also. Recently I've been thinking and speaking quite a bit about the description is there. Some of you may be familiar with it. In Chaitanya Mangala of Lochan Das Thakur, Chaitanya Mangala, right at the beginning of Chaitanya Mangala, there's a very interesting section dealing with deeper or more personal reasons the Lord had for appearing as Lord Chaitanya in the mood of Radharani. More personal than just, let's help the people, let's give them the holy names, even let's give them access to Vrindavan. There's some personal things which the Lord himself wanted to come to grips with and deal with and understand. And it's described nicely there at the beginning of Chaitanya Mangala, that one day in Dwaraka, Rukmini, the first wife of Lord Krishna, she received the news, Krishna, Lord Krishna, your beloved husband and master, Lord Krishna, he is coming to your house. He is on his way. He will be arriving practically any time. And Rukmini became ecstatic. It's so wonderful. Just so glorious. She was so completely ecstatic. She quickly cleaned up everything and made everything suitable for receiving Lord Krishna. And sure enough, Lord Krishna arrived. And when Lord Krishna arrived, Rukmini was even more happy. Just unlimitedly happy. And she couldn't say anything. She was just crying and crying. And she held the Lord's lotus feet to her heart and bathed his lotus feet with her tears. It was very amazing. And Lord Krishna's sitting there, and there's his wife bathing his feet, holding his feet, massaging his feet, and crying, crying and crying. And Krishna became a little bewildered. And Krishna said, what did I do wrong? Did I do something or did I not do something that I should have done? Did I say the wrong thing? Because as every husband knows, their wives sometimes remind them of times they've said the wrong things. Is that true? Did you hear that? Not in your case? So Krishna said, did I say something wrong? And Krishna said, have you not yet got over the whole experience we had not long ago when I told you you may have read in the 10th canto. Lord Krishna, just as a joke, tells Rukmini that, you know, I don't deserve such a fine wife as you. You are of the highest class, a real princess, and just, you have so many good qualities, and somehow you wound up being married to an uneducated cowherd boy. I didn't even go to school until I was about 12 years old, and then only for a few weeks. And I'm just a farmer, a farming boy, and you are a real princess. How on earth? Who was the fool who got you married to me? And Krishna said, but don't worry, it is not too late. You can leave me. You should just leave me, because I'm just too unworthy and unqualified and just too useless for such a high level lady as you. So please just leave me now. And you're still young. You can find some really first class Kshatriya prince. Very wealthy, handsome, powerful, influential. And you marry him. And don't worry about me. It doesn't matter. We want the best for you. So please leave. Leave me. Now. And Rukmini, of course, she loves Krishna so much, she doesn't really care what his social standing is or was and all these considerations. So when Krishna was talking like this, just joking, Rukmini thought he was serious. And the Bhagavatam describes that just after a very few minutes or so, she just fainted and fell like a banana tree falls when blown down by a strong wind. It just goes straight over. Bang. She just fell to the ground. Bang. Like that. And she was distraught. So Krishna there, now at this, on this occasion, Krishna said, don't tell me you haven't got over that. Are you still angry with me about that? I've apologized so many times. I can apologize again. And Krishna said, but Rukmini said nothing. She just kept her head down and cried and cried and held his lotus feet to her heart. And Krishna said, what's wrong? What is it? Of course, nothing was wrong. She was extremely happy. But Krishna didn't understand, and he was saying, what's wrong? I can't understand. Please tell me what's wrong. I don't understand. And Rukmini said, yes, that's the thing. You don't understand. Even though you are Sarvajna, you are all-knowing, omniscient. But this thing, you just don't understand. You just don't understand how much your devotees love you. You just don't understand that. Even though you understand everything else. And she told him that you have to experience this. You have to. And particularly the love of Radharani. I love you so much, but Radharani loves you more. So unless and until you understand and experience the love of Radharani, until that time, well, you just won't understand. But you need to understand. And Krishna said, right, that's it. I'm going to appear in the mood of Radharani and directly experience firsthand what is the love of Radharani. Therefore he appeared as Lord Chaitanya, who, as we mentioned, is black, blackish within Krishna, but on the outside golden Srimati Radharani, the color of molten gold. So this was Lord Krishna's personal reason for himself, his own particular thing that he wanted for himself, to understand the love of his devotees and to experience that, and particularly the love of Srimati Radharani. So in the fourth chapter of the Adi Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a very beautiful, extensive description in regards to this point, that when having been sort of reminded or just informed of this by Rukmini, then Lord Krishna started meditating on this and just thinking about it. What must it be like? Really considering within his mind, what is the love of Radharani? What is it like? So in that fourth chapter of the Adi Leela, there's a nice description. There were three particular personal points, three particular things Krishna wanted to understand and experience about Radharani, her position, her feelings, and herself. First was the glory of her love. Just how amazing is her love for Krishna. Because after all, Lord Krishna, he sometimes tests the devotees. Sometimes he puts some pressure on them to see, okay, what you gonna do? Are you going to remain Krishna conscious in this particular situation? Or are you going to lose your Krishna consciousness or become materially influenced at least? What are you going to do? So Krishna tests the devotees. And the month, the lunar month after Kartik, later on in this year, of course, that lunar month is the month of Katyayani. And that is the month the gopis did the Katyayani Vrata. Are you familiar with that? They were praying. They did a month-long prayer, sacrifice, religious ceremony type thing ongoing for a whole month, worshipping goddess Katyayani, who's a form of Durga, who if she's pleased with a young lady, will arrange that the young lady gets a good husband. So young ladies, just think about that. And those of you who are not so young and who maybe feel that you Maybe you got stuck with the wrong. Out of all the candidates, somehow you ended up with this one. You know, what do they say? Ickle, ockle, black bottle. Somehow, which one? Oh, him. And you get the dad, the booby prize. So maybe you can also worship Katyayani and trade in for an updated model. Anyway, Hare Krishna. But so they did that for the whole month. And then on the very last day, as they were concluding the whole process, well, as they had concluded, then they went to bathe in the Yamuna, leaving their clothes up on the bank. And who should come but Lord Krishna, who stole their clothes. And, you know, it's a long story, but basically he went up into a tree with all the clothes and he just relaxed there. And the gopis started coming out and they saw their clothes had gone. And then they saw the clothes were up in the tree with Krishna. And like we said, it's a bit of a long story, but Krishna wouldn't give them back until they came in front of him openly with no clothes on. So that was a real challenge for them. It was a real challenge. But, well, of course, the explanation is that a woman can only be seen with no clothes by her husband. So by Krishna putting them in this situation, he was indirectly, in a very special way, taking the role of their husbands and accepting them as his wives, which is what they wanted. But they were shocked. They had performed that Katyayani Vrata to get Krishna as their husband. That was what they wanted. And here is Krishna now at the end of it, accepting them as his wives in response to their prayers. But they didn't expect it to happen in that way. They expected it, anyway, in some more sort of routine, normal way. But you know Krishna, full of surprises, full of life, never a dull moment. This is Krishna, and this is life in Krishna consciousness. So it was a test. It was really a test. But they passed the test. And we see that in that at the end of the pastime, when they get their clothes back finally, and then they leave, that as they left, they were very happy. And they were chanting the glories of Krishna. The Bhagavatam states it. They were not thinking of revenge. You know, let's wait till we see him go swimming in the Yamuna sometime. Then we'll really get him. Ha ha. No, they weren't thinking of doing something like that. They understood Krishna has accepted us. They were very happy. And they left chanting the glories of Krishna. It's just so wonderful. Yes, so Krishna wanted to understand the glory of Radharani's love because it is of such a nature, it never breaks. Generally, people have some breaking point. they can take this much, that much. But when it reaches a certain point, they cannot take it anymore. And they break down and just everything just falls to pieces. But Krishna saw that Srimati Radharani, this never happens to her. It never happens, no matter how much she's tested. She always remains completely fixed in her devotion to his lotus feet, despite everything. And Krishna was amazed. How is it she can be like this? So he wanted to understand and experience the glory of her love in these terms, from her position. Not just as an observer, just seeing and trying to make some analysis, but from her actual position. Then, second, personal idea that he wanted to understand and come to grips with. He wanted to understand, what is it in me which makes her love me so much, that much, in such a glorious way? What is it in me? You know, sometimes we hear at least that some person is very, young man or young woman is very interested in some other person. But, you know, it's not difficult to get that person. And sometimes they say, if I cannot have you, I will die. I will kill myself. Without you, my life is not worth living. And you must know, if someone ever says that about you, you must know, they are a little otherwise. And you can think that, you know, why would you want to die for me? I mean, look at me, I'm just an ordinary person. So Krishna is humble. Krishna's not just got like a superiority complex, a God complex. He's very humble. This is why in Bhagavad Gita, in different places, Krishna gives some instruction that this is like this. And then he says, that is my opinion. Because he's humble. And he doesn't want to be just the big authority. This is the way it is. Get me. No, so he says the way it is. He says, this is my opinion. Yeah. There are a few places in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says like that. So Krishna is very humble. And he was wondering, why? What on earth is it about me which stimulates her to love me the way she does? He couldn't understand. Am I really that lovable? I don't know. So he wanted to understand that, but from her perspective, looking at him as a devotee. And then the third thing was that Lord Krishna wanted to experience the happiness which she experiences, because it is unbelievable. It's many times higher than the happiness he experiences. Amazing though that may sound. According to Chaitanya Charitamrita, Radharani enjoys pleasure at least 10 million times more than Krishna. That's, you know, it's fantastic. So Krishna wanted to experience it. What is this happiness which she experiences, which is just on such a fantastic, unbelievable level? These were his personal reasons for himself. He wanted to understand those things for his own interest. Therefore he appeared. I mean, that's another reason why Lord Krishna appeared as Lord Chaitanya. So there you go, devotees. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Anyone? Hare Krishna. Anyone have any question or comment? Words of correction? Chastisement? Etc. Oh, yes.
Maharaj, why is it so difficult for people in India to accept Lord Chaitanya, but the people of the West, they accept Lord Chaitanya so easily?
I don't think it's necessarily really like that, actually. But one thing that Prabhupada said, it's just an interesting little thing. Is that, and it doesn't apply to everyone, definitely doesn't apply at all to everyone, but in many cases, Prabhupada said, the people from India are very close to Krishna, but they're heading away from him. Whereas the people in the West, they're a long way away from Krishna, but they're heading towards him. Like I said, that is not an absolute principle. But Prabhupada said like that. So, and that, is one explanation why people who should know better, and who do, they actually do know better, they've got the knowledge, but they're just not going to get into it, and it's just not going to take it seriously. I remember maybe a year or two at the most ago, preaching to one nice man, friendly enough, and I was inviting him to the temple, and he said, yes, I'll come if Krishna wants, I'll come. And I said, well, do you go to the shops and buy things? Oh, yes, sure. I said, well, do you wait until Krishna wants? Or do you just decide to go and get something if you need it? So, this very unproactive mood. Yeah. It's a problem. And it comes from complacency, a type of lethargy arising from complacency meaning that you understand, but you just can't be bothered. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Okay. So what's our program, devotees? Oh. Are you our MC?
Yeah.
Give her the mic.
Hare Krishna, everybody. I'd first like to thank everybody.